Well, with the tumultuous financial events this week, I thought maybe I ought to preach on the Last Judgment or the Day of Reckoning or something, you know, because it would fit really well, but that's not what the gospel is. But I've been praying all week what God wants, perhaps would want to say about it. And the one thing that really came to mind to me, among many other things, is that some people in this country received salaries of millions and millions and millions of dollars in 1 year to lead companies that went into bankruptcy last week. Isn't that amazing? Everyone thought they knew what they were doing. Turns out nobody knows what to do. I certainly hope they're not going to get a lot of money on the way out. And the whole thing is almost as perplexing as this gospel is. You know, we need a divine perspective to understand the gospel and to understand the events that we are living in. It is not enough to have a worldly perspective to understand our lives. People today are looking for, these days, people are looking for a safe place to put their money or moving it and that sort of thing. Price of gold went up this week. I like to watch that stuff because Christ is always talking from the financial page. Have you noticed how often he does that? He talks about money a lot. And I was thinking, you know, I know of a good investment that you can use that will pay off in the end. It's called tithing. This is not a sermon on tithing, but I have to mention that because I do think that a lot of us invest our lives in the wrong place. And many people don't realize it till the end, that this world, everything stays here. You know, it's all going to end like this someday. So, but our Lord offers a different perspective. Our world, especially in the last couple of decades, we tend to focus on short-term gains, not long-term consequences. This week we reap the consequences of people's short-sightedness. And our Lord says, don't be short-sighted in your spiritual life. Use the events of this week to think about the spiritual life. In what way am I seeing things in a short-sighted way? What is God asking me to do? Otherwise, we may be following people who don't know where they're going and who will lead us like lemmings into the sea. There seems to be basically three reactions that you can see from current events and also in our lives. When we're really doing well, human beings tend to get greedy and want more and more and forget about the poor in general. When things are going really badly and you have kind of a bad week like this, people start to panic. And when things are going normally, we tend to think it's going to go like that forever. Our Lord wants to break through all three of those modes, you know. When I hear this gospel, it really ticks me off. Do you get kind of ticked off hearing this gospel? And you know, I've heard this gospel. We had a Bible study on it this week, and you still think, gosh, you know, I take the side of the ones that got hired at 6 a.m., you know. And it doesn't seem fair. I know many Oregonians, the lifetime Oregonians, when they were younger, picked strawberries in the summer to make some money. How many here picked strawberries when they were young? Still quite a few even at this mass. 5:30, almost every hand went up. think about it. I grew up in Ohio, and I don't recall any strawberry fields in Ohio, but imagine if you went out there as a high school student, and it's 6 a.m. and it's 100 degrees outside, and of course you're paid by the flat, and suppose at 5 p.m. somebody else comes in, some picker come lately, you know, and they get paid for the same amount of flats as you, even though they didn't work as hard. You'd feel cheated. and you'd go to some other person's field to pick, wouldn't you? Why does God compare himself to such an unjust scenario? It is unjust. It's meant to upset us. He's telling us you're not seeing things the right way. You're working for the wrong reasons. He wants us to think. That's why he disturbs us with these teachings. If you're not disturbed, you're not listening. It reminds me of somebody who maybe worked for 30 or 40 years for a certain company, has retirement benefits, every year got an annual raise, well thought of, good performance reviews, and then somebody gets hired in the last year, their 39th year, and gets the same benefit and retirement package and retires right along with them. You'd feel undervalued by your company. Suddenly, what they gave you would seem cheap, that perhaps you were taken or didn't know the right people. Our Lord invites us to look at things differently, so we need to look at the reading and see what it's really saying. In this reading, there are only two permanent fixtures. One is the owner of the vineyard. He remains day after day. The other is the vineyard. It will continue. The workers, however, come and go. They're hired for the day. They're not long-term workers. They're only hired for the day or for a part of the day. As soon as we're hired, we're set to work in the vineyard. What's our hire date? In this story, what's our hire hour? It is when we first realized that God is calling us. Technically, for Catholics, many of whom are baptized at birth, that's the beginning of our work in the vineyard. In reality, it's when we first get to know the Lord and he asks us to be his followers and we put faith in him. At that point, hopefully when we're young, we go to work in the vineyard. The vineyard is, first of all, inside our soul. We are immediately put to work pulling out weeds, which are sins and vices, and planting strawberry plants, good fruits, and the Spirit guides us, the church helps us, the scriptures teach us what's a good plant and what's a weed, you know, one of our Lord's other images. This is the work of our lives. Then we're called to work in the vineyard on the outside, which is, of course, the church in the world. The vineyard is in the world, and we're called to work in God's vineyard, which is his church. And all of us have a role to fill. No matter when we were called, we have a role. You may say, well, what is my role? My role is to witness to God by my words and deeds with the people I live with, the people I work with, the people I go to school with, the people in the nursing home, if that's where I'm at. I'm called to pray. I'm called to work for the poor if I can, to make contributions of my time and my money and all that stuff. For many people, their work is to go for an hour in the Adoration Chapel. Probably the greatest work here after the Mass, though hidden. But all of us are called to work. Some may think, oh, I'm already at the 5 o'clock hour. You know, the Jewish day was divided into 8 segments. 4 in the morning, 4 in the day, 4 at night. The Lord called in 5 of them. There are 3 hours where no man can work. But for 5 hours, he calls. But even if it's the 5 o'clock hour, God has work for you. He wants to put you in the vineyard. He wants to pay you full wages. Isn't that great? It's never too late to get hired. I've done a number of deathbed baptisms and deathbed confessions that brought somebody repentance from mortal sin, and it's really a great thing. That's getting hired at the 8 o'clock hour. You know, it's summer and it's still light. Guy got picked really at the last minute. Very fortunate. They're hired for 1 day. What's that? 1 human lifetime. 1 day. Days come and go. People come and go on this earth. We're hired for 1 day or a part of a day or the last minute. How about that? 1 minute. Seen a couple of those. We line up at the end. Maybe this is about the Last Judgment a little bit. We line up at the end to get paid. Our Lord tells us the wages of sin is death. But for those who've been hired, what is the wage? What is this phrase comes up about 8 times in here. It must be significant. What is the usual daily wage for a Christian who has faith in God, in the Lord? Eternal life. Okay, so let me get this straight. I work for one day, or a part of a day, or an hour of my day, an hour, and what do I get paid with forever? It's like being given $1 billion after one day's work. That's a poor comparison. So the payment is out of all proportion to our work. Therefore, we cannot be working to earn our salvation, right? We don't earn our salvation. It's a free gift. It comes when we're hired. Therefore, we must be working for another reason. We're not earning our pay. It was a free gift to begin with. Nothing we can do in this world can possibly give us the gift of eternal life. God's got to give it to us. We have to follow his directions. We have to have faith in him. That's the usual daily wage. We must be working, therefore, out of the love for God, out of gratitude for him, because we love him. And also, the longer we work for him, oftentimes the closer we get to him, the more we know about him. We're developing spiritually. We're becoming what we will be in the next life. Every hour is important. Yet it's true, and you can see this, people that come into the church at a later age very often excel beyond people who've been Catholics all their lives. So there's a real life application to what our Lord is saying. We can continue to follow people whose horizon is only as far as this world. Perhaps their vision is even shorter. These are the ones that very often will get us into a lot of trouble in the end, because they really don't know where they're going. The Lord, on the other hand, as I've said before, has one foot in this world, one in the next. And so he's got a vision that is far beyond anything in this world, and he wants us to follow him. He invites. He tells us what's over the horizon. He tells us what we're working for, encourages us, but the choice is up to us. It all depends on whether we have the divine perspective.